Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, welcome. You're listening to another episode of The Brave Podcast, and I'm your host Alexis Newland. This is episode 35. If you're listening to this on the 26th, I am currently in Yellowstone National Park. At the time of the recording, I'm not, but by the time of listening to this, I will be, and I'll be on vacation, and I cannot wait. I'm actually leaving Friday the 21st. Today is the 18th. I'm leaving Friday the 21st, and I am going on a 10-day solo road trip / camping trip. I cannot wait to go out and be in nature, be with God, and kind of unplug from tech and social media and work and everything. So I'm really, really happy about that. I will try to post photos occasionally. I don't know yet. Depends. But yeah, if you want to see what I'm doing while I'm in Yellowstone, follow me on Instagram at a peach in Cali or a peach in Fresno. Either one of those sites, you'll be able to find my photos. All right, on to this week's guest. My guest is Andy with TCP Youth Empowerment. Andy is the founder of this organization that basically goes out and empowers youth to learn about business skills and marketing. It is really, really, really cool program. Andy and I also have a friend in common. Her name is Carolyn Owens, who I met at PodFest, so it was really cool to connect with that. Andy shares about his passion with working with youth, what it was like to be a former baseball player with the Baltimore Orioles. He was on their minor league, and kind of how he became a Christian. It was a really fun interview, and I was really glad to connect with him. Without further ado, here is my podcast interview with Andy.
So before we start, you know a woman named Carolyn Owens?
That, yeah.
So she's a good friend of mine.
Oh, that's cool.
I spoke with her today and told her I was having a chat with you. She was all excited.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Small world. I met her at PodFest.
Yeah, that's what she was saying.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So just wanted to throw that out there before we got into it.
Very, very cool. So thank you so much for being a guest. So Alexis is The Brave Podcast, and I am here with Andy. I'm going to butcher your last name.
Schindling.
And so tell us about yourself, why you're awesome.
Yeah, why I'm awesome, huh? Okay. I was, my name's Andy Schindling. I was born and raised in Bowie, Maryland, just outside of D.C. Now currently live in Glen Burnie, which is just outside of Baltimore, so I'm not too far from my birthplace. I was an athlete growing up, and that's how I kind of identified myself. And ultimately, I went to a high school in D.C., a place called St. John's College High School, graduated from there, and was blessed to get drafted by the Orioles out of high school. Oh, wow. And also have a scholarship to George Mason. I elected to take the professional route. And so I signed with the Orioles in 2004 and played in their minor league system until 2009 as a pitcher. And when I was done playing, I started my college studies at Anne Arundel Community College in 2010, transferred to Towson University in 2012, where I graduated in 2015 with a degree in business. And then in the meantime, at school, I was coaching youth baseball, and that kind of inspired me to start my nonprofit. Okay. Which I guess we'll get into more details as we talk. And I was, through my coaching, I was brought to the church from a friend of mine who I guess now is a good friend, but at the time I was just coaching his son, and he asked me to come to the church in 2014, and I ended up getting baptized that June. And ever since then, just been a man of faith and doing what I do and on the journey he has my feet on.
Very cool. So how did you find baseball? How did you pick that sport? Did you just love it as a kid or?
Yeah, I guess, I don't really boast about myself, but I excelled at every sport. I was just born to play sports, and I was gifted, and I picked at things up quickly. So, but I think, I guess baseball was the one that I really, really stood out at and really loved just from, the time I was 3 years old when my dad put a ball in my hand.
Very cool. Okay. And so you played all the way through high school and then got drafted. What was it like to go from being a high school student and then get drafted to, was it major league?
No, it was minor leagues. Oh, yeah. Still professional, but yeah, that's a great question. It was, at the time I didn't really understand it, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, going from a student to a 17-year-old in a grown man's world living, being a professional, not, you know, looking back at it, I never understood what I really was doing. I thought I was just playing a sport. I knew I got paid for it. I knew it was a job, but it definitely was a transition that I don't think I was prepared for, nor were my parents, just not knowing much about the professional side of baseball. But yeah, it was definitely a major, major jump to where you know, I went from having people tell me when to show up to school and practice to being on my own in the sense of I create my own schedule as a professional baseball player. So it was a fun, tough transition all at once.
Yeah, it's like you had to kind of grow up fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And if you're not ready for it, it'll slap you in the face.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite moments from being in professional baseball?
Well, the first thing would be just being on the other side of the wall. So meaning as a kid going to games, you know, you're always asking for autographs and, you know, kind of looking up to those people, those players. So being on the other side of that was great. Being able to interact with the fans, signing autographs, and really connecting with the fans, that was pretty awesome. You know, but I think my biggest would be meeting my idol, who was Cal Ripken, and being able to catch his catch the first pitch the day before he got inducted to the Hall of Fame. So that was my highlight. You know, I definitely will cherish that. I have an autograph from Cal Ripken that nobody else in the world has, which it says our first pitch July 28th, 2007. It's pretty bad. I can't remember it, but nobody has that. So, you know, many thousands of people have his autograph, but none with, you know, a message on it like that. And specifically being a day before he got inducted to the Hall of Fame and a game at Doubleday Field. So I know that I'm unique in the sense that nobody can say that.
No, that is amazing.
Yeah.
How did that connection happen?
So I was playing in Aberdeen for the Ironbirds, and that's Cal Ripken's team.
Okay.
So in the league we played in, we played a New York team that was, I guess, close to the Cooperstown area. And I would imagine it was just set up that way to where we would play at that Doubleday Field the day before he got inducted, since it was his team.
Wow. That is awesome. And so what made you decide to leave baseball?
I didn't decide. I was told. Oh. Yeah. You know, I was told by the Orioles, you know, you're released. You know, basically, it's a nice way of saying you're fired in the baseball world. So, yeah, I wasn't, you know, I ended up playing independent ball that summer of 2009 in Washington, Pennsylvania for the Wild Things. And that season went well. You know, I got injured towards the end of the year, nothing major, but there was only like 2 weeks left in the season. I wasn't going to be able to return. Independent ball is way different than minor league baseball, where if you're hurt, they'll go find somebody to replace you. And at that point I realized, you know, it was probably time for me to go to school because I didn't have a shot at getting back to minor league baseball. And I think at that point I realized it's definitely time for me to move on. But I certainly didn't choose to stop playing in the sense.
Yeah. Was it hard to make that transition from being a professional athlete to going back to school again and pursuing a degree?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, part of what I do now is fueled by my story where, you know, I never really felt like I was in control of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard a quote a year and a half ago that said, even a dead fish can float downstream and get somewhere.
Yeah.
And it hit me hard because I realized from about the age of 16 to 28, I was a dead fish. So when you talk about that transition, I don't want to say it was hard or it was easy, because I was just floating, you know. My whole life, you know, it was, all right, wake up, go to school, do sports, wake up, go to school, do sports. And then it was wake up, go do sport. You know, in the off season, it was wake up, kind of do whatever I want, go work out, to go do sport, where I was just going where I was, I guess, told to go or do what I thought I had to do, as opposed to really being in control of what I wanted to do, if that makes sense. Yeah. So when, you know, I had to transition to school, it was like, all right, well, now I'm being told I need to go to school. You know, I got a free education. I got to go to school. I don't know what I'm going for. I like business. So I'll just go. And it's something to do. And I guess it's part of the plan. So transition wasn't, I don't know if there really was a transition, to be honest with you.
Just kind of went into it.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
And so you got your business degree. And then what made you decide to start a nonprofit?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I always loved kids, always loved giving back, always like coaching, helping other people. And while I was coaching, while I was in school, you know, I realized kids were losing the opportunity to play because of the cost of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it's very expensive to play sports, especially baseball. And I realized that baseball gave me everything I had up to that point in my life. And it was the opportunities that my parents gave me, and then the opportunities that baseball gave me, which going to the private high school, getting a scholarship, getting drafted, getting a free college education was all because of opportunities I had. And I didn't want kids to lose that opportunity just because of money.
Yeah.
And so we set out to raise money for kids to play baseball, and we did a great job at that. We gave away just over $22,000 in about a 2-year span, whether it was us starting teams with money we raised or giving kids grants to play or get equipment. So we did that, but as I was maturing and growing, it really wasn't scratching my itch, and kind of started transitioning. How can we use baseball to promote math? Because, you know, I realized math was a struggle in the schools. And we could use it in a fun, engaging way to give kids an opportunity they never had, was to collect personal data on a game that they never played. Because we were going into these low-income communities and schools, bringing this game of baseball to them in a field trip setting. So it was a new experience for them, but more importantly, they were learning, and we were tying how baseball relates to math to give them a real-world connection.
What was an example of that? How did you do it? I'm curious.
Yeah, so we would go in and, you know, a group of 60 kids, and we would split them up into four stations. It was a throwing, hitting, base running, and then a learning the game station.
Okay.
That was all, like, the learning the game was more about measurements and angles that are on the baseball field, where the other three stations were them actually, you know, physically participating in those activities, where they would collect group or individual data. You know, they're measuring how far they would hit the ball. They would calculate, you know, how many times they would throw the ball in 60 seconds, and then give them a word problem. Well, if your group threw 30 balls in 60 seconds and you threw for 120 seconds, how many balls would you throw? And then using the bases, the time, their speed around the bases, and now they're working with decimals and all that. So it was really a full day field trip at the school.
Wow.
That took kids through each activity.
That makes math way more fun. Something I did not like in school. So I'm like, okay, how do you do that? That's really cool. I would have enjoyed math more as a kid. I would have had it in that way.
Yep. And then, and we also tie some character stuff in there. You know, our big words for that program were humility, integrity, accountability, commitment, and service. So at each station, they learn a word, understand what it means, and then write sentences on why it's important and how they could use it during this activity. Okay. And then, you know, we realized that wasn't really going to sustain in the sense of financially. It wasn't going to bring in money for us to keep the organization running. So at that same time, I was trying to explore after school programming, you know, looking back on my life and listening to teachers and principals, what the issues are, where kids are struggling, what do they need. After school was a huge thing in our area and still is. So at one of my field trips, I went to a principal at the school and said, I have this business program I'd like to do after school here. You know, can we talk about it? And really wasn't expecting to, you know, meet with them that day, but we ended up meeting and setting dates for this program, which is now called TCP Youth Empowerment.
Okay.
Excuse me. And the problem was I didn't have a program. I just wanted to do it. So when we signed up for it, I spent the last 3 months of 2017 developing this business curriculum that results in kids giving a business presentation. At the time was on a fictitious sport franchise.
Oh, wow.
So we taught them marketing, accounting, how to interpret, analyze data, you know, get up and present and all that. And, you know, long story short, that's turned into a 24-week program where kids present on a community project that they want to implement in their community in front of a panel of business professionals. We take them on field trips to visit businesses to learn about jobs, and where it's really like hands-on stuff where they're actually engaged with an employee for 45 minutes to learn about a job. And then we actually conduct one of the projects that the kids come up with.
Okay.
And then we have a whole leadership component built in there and, you know, really wrapped around self-mastery or self-management. So we can create some self-starting individuals, you know, and now our mission really is to develop youth leaders. Okay. And prepare them for the real world. So when the time they graduate high school, they're ready to hit the ground running.
What age do you start them at?
As young as sixth grade. So we had an 11-year-old this year.
And so for kids to get involved, do you seek them out? I know you go to the schools. Like, do they have to pay?
So it's free to the kids. We've been blessed to get some donors in a grant. And the school helps to identify some. You know, in the past, I've gone and spoke to a lot of some what they call AVID students, which is a class.
Yeah.
And then we really turn to the counselors to help identify kids who they think would benefit from the program, who need the program, who show some leadership skills or interest. And then we pitch it to about 40 kids. And then it's first come, first serve for the first 15 to 20.
Wow. And you say you run about 24 weeks, you said?
Yeah. So... It started this year, 24 weeks, but next year, this upcoming school year, is going to run from October until the end of March.
That's brilliant. What a cool program for kids to have. Because I know after school programming, I live here in Fresno, that's like a lack. Like you don't have money to go into sports or anything, there's not much for kids to do who are low income.
There's not, and a lot, and nothing wrong with the other ones, but they all really just focus on, you know, homework help.
Yeah.
You know, which obviously kids need, if they're there, they need to get their schoolwork done. But we're kind of really creating a real learning environment where they're learning practical life skills that they're able to go and utilize while they're in school. But, you know, most importantly, it's how can we supplement what they're learning in school with new material that's going to prepare them for the real world.
So you teach kind of business to younger kids. How did you pick that subject to present to sixth and seventh graders? Like, are they pretty receptive to it? Do they feel kind of intimidated by it?
No, that's great. So like, to answer the last part, they seem eager, to be honest with you. Yeah. It's nothing they're learning in school. Once they actually, you know, start, and once they feel ownership of it, like, man, I'm doing this and this is our groups, like they do really well with it and they get into it. At first, it probably seems a little overwhelming when we talk about marketing and advertising, which they know what it is, but they don't understand what it is because they know that they see it all on TV. But when you get into the details of it, they seem to be more intrigued and more aware. And that's what my degree is in business. And, you know, I've always liked business. So, and I know it doesn't matter what you do in this world, you got to know business. You know, even if you're coding, you know, you still got to know some type of business, you know, acumen, whether it's, some basic fundamentals or whatever it may be. But I was just trying to open their eyes to the business world and different opportunities that are out there within the business world.
Oh, cool. That is a really cool subject to start with younger kids like that. And it's really going to benefit them when they get into high school and then go on to college. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason it started so young because that's where we were when you were doing that that field trip. I was already in the middle school. That's when I talked to the principal. But it also made sense to me because I have this belief that no child is too young to learn anything, you know. And I think that we I think we inhibit sometimes inhibit our kids' growth because we think there's information that's too far out there for them.
Yeah.
They may not be ready for that. They may not be able to understand or comprehend that yet. Well, how do you know if you don't let them try? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But also, too, is the statistics are showing, at least in our county out here, that if you lose them by halfway through ninth grade, they're lost.
Wow.
So, you know, and they're, for me, it's like, well, we got to grab them before then.
Yeah.
You know, we got to make sure we're grabbing them in sixth, seventh, eighth grade. That way, when they get to high school, they have an idea of what they want to do. They have some type of, life desires, goals, dreams, or whatever it is, so they don't end up getting lost, which, you know, I can relate to because I was definitely lost in life for a while. Even though I was living my dream, mm-hmm. you know, again, like I said, I was that dead fish floating. And at that point, you're really lost.
Yeah. And that's a horrible feeling to be like, what purpose do I have? Where am I going? And it sounds
a lot of kids experience that now.
Yeah. A lot of kids do. They don't, there's so many options out there and I feel like there's so much given to them, so many, but there's like not someone to really lead them and show here, do this or do this or do this.
Exactly.
Perfect. What you've got set up for these kids so they can kind of like dabble and see what they like, what they don't like. And these are great skills for later.
Yeah.
Some program.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. How long has it been? How long has your nonprofit been running?
We started, we got our classification in 2015.
Okay.
We did baseball from 2016 to 2018. The math and baseball was 2017, 2018-ish. And then ever since January 2018, it's strictly been the after-school programming. We've had baseball teams from 2016 until last year, but each year starting in 2017, we've decreased the baseball, got away from the baseball, and started pushing more towards the academic stuff.
That is really cool. So the kids can have a choice if they want to go academic or baseball if they want.
So, well, the baseball was basically two separate things. You know, we would have our baseball side over here, our academic side over here. And then, you know, as I've been learning and more identifying, you know, what I want with my life and the impact I want to make, we've been pushing more towards the after school stuff. And starting this year, we got no baseball.
No baseball. Wow.
No baseball, just straight after school. Programming and summer stuff.
Do you want to expand to other grades or even younger, like either going up to hit high schoolers or going down to like hit like elementary age?
Yeah, we actually did a pilot in ninth grade this year at Logo High School. So our goal is to expand up. That way, if we can get them in sixth, seventh grade, we're in that feeder high school. So our goal is, can we do a good enough job to where we grab them in sixth or seventh and ride them all the way through high school so we can get them from 4 to 7 years.
That is awesome. Are you guys just in one localized area? Or are you hoping to spread to more of the greater Baltimore area and other cities as well?
I'm a very ambitious guy, so the latter. But, you know, funding-wise and, you know, capacity-wise, we're probably about where we can handle right now. We're in Brooklyn Park, Maryland, in Brooklyn Park Middle School.
Okay.
Which is just outside Baltimore City. And then we're also over at MacArthur Middle School and Meade High School, which is on Fort Meade. So really for us, it comes down to funding and capacity. But yeah. I think for the foreseeable 2 to 3 years, I really want to strengthen our impact there and create a really, really strong program. And then, you know, take that ambitious mindset and try to expand.
That's awesome. What a cool program. And so your nonprofit's running well. What other goals do you have for the year? What other things do you want to work on?
So, yeah, I need to get my book edited, I guess. As you know, I mentioned, I know Carolyn and, you know, I have about 5 chapters of a book that I've written that has been literally sitting for a year that I really want to get edited.
Oh.
You know, for me, it's just, you know, my goal right now is really just to strengthen this program,
mm-hmm.
get that book edited. You know, I got something in the back of my mind I really don't want to talk on yet because I'm still trying to figure it out. But it does wrap around education and and trying to provide something new to the community.
Very cool. So back to your book, what is your book about? You've been writing several chapters. Do you have an idea what it's going to be about? Is it about your life?
Yeah, it's about, I'm not going to give away my title because I've learned from Carolyn that it's, you don't want to give it away because people will steal it.
That's true. People will take
it. Yeah, people will take it. So it's about it's going to eventually be like a 3-book series, I guess you will call it. You know, it's, originally wanted to talk about the 15 must-haves relating to, I guess, like kind of mindset.
Okay.
Skill sets for athletes. So I've written out the first 5, and it's not necessarily just athlete specifics. So that's why I'm trying to work on the title. Mm-hmm. But it talks about, spirituality and faith. It talks about confidence and self-esteem. It talks about grit and coachability.
Okay.
So it's definitely what I've learned on my journey in life. And, I talk about the mistakes I've made, the pitfalls I've made, and how it correlates to these must-haves that I believe, everybody needs to have.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to figure out the right title of the book that where I don't just narrow the market, but be able to reach, ultimately I want to be able to reach the youth. And hopefully it's written, I can write it in a way that can reach both the youth and, obviously adults.
Very cool. When are you hoping to have that out?
Carolyn asked me that earlier today. I'd like to get it out by September this year.
Oh, that's too far away.
Exactly. So I need to get it, get it out to the hands of some kids and some parents and get their feedback on it and then get it to an editor just to see how it's written, how it reaches the different populations, and then really put a push on it, and then ultimately get it into the kids into the hands of the kids that I'm serving so they can read about it and learn a little more.
Very, very cool. And so I wanted to go back. So you said you're a man of faith. Do you mind sharing how you became a Christian?
Yeah. A guy named Kurt Anderson, who I was coaching his son, brought me to the church, and it was around the time in my life where I was doing a lot of good, but I was also doing a lot of not a good. And, life hit me full, hit me in the face, definitely a reality check. So I was, always believed in God. When I look back on life, I see the opportunities that I gave up on when God was knocking on my door to let me in, or for me to let him in, I should say.
Yeah.
It was just the timing was right in 2014. It was a new church setting for me. It was a community church, non-denominational. I showed up, and I'd never been into a church before where they had a band that was singing. So it kind of caught me, my attention. After about 2 months of going, I realized they weren't preaching at me. They were preaching to me, I guess.
Yeah.
If you understand the difference.
Definitely.
And I just felt comfortable. And, I realized I had never been baptized before, but I guess, it was time for me to open the door to let God in. And so I did. And ever since then, life has been good. I certainly got rid of a lot of the sinful natures that was living in me and the sinful desires, worldly desires I was chasing and left those in the past. And really, and that's kind of, I guess, what really led to starting the charity. I just feel like this was the journey he wanted my feet to be on, because there's been definitely been some blessings to keep me doing what I'm doing and being able to provide and survive. So, yeah, I think this is just the journey, and the timing was right there in 2014 for me to finally submit and accept the Lord.
That's really cool. And you haven't looked back since, huh?
No. Yeah. I lived a long life. It sounds long, but to others it may not be, but I lived a long life of, being selfish and living in this world, chasing worldly things to where I know it's nothing, it's all futile. There's nothing out there that's for me that I need to be chasing after. So, yep.
Exactly. And so if anyone wanted to, going back to business, anyone wanted to start a nonprofit or start their own business, what advice would you give?
Oh, well, I guess it'd be two different things, you know, for-profit, non-profit. So if you wanted to start a non-profit, my advice would be don't do anything until you got 5 to 7 people around you who will support what you're doing and actually, you know, kind of be on the founding board. You know, I started a nonprofit with no board. I guess my friend Kurt was the only board member. But we had a model where we were using baseball teams as a part of a revenue generator.
Okay.
So it made it a little easier in that aspect. And I had already been doing baseball teams and I just brought them to my nonprofit. But if you don't have a solid 5 to 7 individuals that will sit on your board or an advisory board that will provide you with connections, financial support, and expertise, then it's going to be a long journey. And it's still one that I'm trying to make it through. You know, as we made that transition out of baseball, I'm now working hard to get 5 to 7 people around me who are really passionate about education and making a change in the education world. So I'm giving advice at the same time while I'm trying to use it.
Yeah.
If you want to start a business, you know, and even with the nonprofit, I guess, because I did the same thing with the nonprofit, but it's just go do it. Don't sit there and wait for the perfect time, the perfect this, the perfect that. You know, you can do all the data and research that you need. That is definitely important.
Okay.
You need to do some beforehand, but you just got to go do it because, you know, one thing I've learned is it doesn't matter what research you have, what data you have, what programs you've created, what product that you have. It doesn't mean anything if you don't do nothing. And you're going to learn so much just by doing that you're going to look back and say, I wasted a lot of time researching because I did.
Yeah.
I've researched so much about nonprofits that the notes I took back in 2015, I don't even use. I don't even look at because I'm so far from where I was researching that it's not even, I can't even use it.
Okay.
So just go do it. You know, I think, you know, you said you were kind of new to this. You know, the first step is to do it.
Yeah.
Because every time you do a podcast, you're going to get better. You know, every time you ask questions, you're going to realize, well, maybe I could have worded that different, whatever it is, but just go do it because you're going to learn so much more by being in it than you would ever just trying to create the perfect plan.
Exactly. Yeah. I've learned a lot doing this. Perfection does not exist.
No.
Yeah. And I feel like some people wait to go after their dream. Like you went after your nonprofit or the dream to write. People just wait so long for everything to be just perfect. And you'll never do it. You'll never get anything done if you wait.
Yep.
You kind of have to go for it and learn by baptism by fire, pretty much.
There you go. That's it. And I know Carolyn, and I'm going to jump back on her show, hopefully in May. And we're going to do a nice little chat. I guess I can't give it away because she'll probably get mad at me, but it has something to do with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she is very cool. She sought me out at PodFest and was like, I'm going to mentor you. I'm like, whoa, okay. Yeah, like she's such a kind woman and bummed that she's like on the other side of the country. I'm like, man, I wish she was closer, but it's just really cool that there's media and I can text her, message her. And
yep.
Yeah,
she definitely opened my eyes to the podcast. We actually did one together for a little bit. And then she kind of opened the door for me to do one on my own, which I did for, I don't know, about 4 to 6 weeks. And then life caught up to me and all that stuff. But she's been definitely a blessing. She was heavily involved with our after school program for about a year and a half, which was a blessing in itself.
Wow. Very cool. All right. So anything that right now in your life that you're absolutely loving, things that are just going great for you right now?
Oh, man. I don't know if I can answer that question because I just with the whole COVID, you know, I mean.
I know it's hard, huh, to think.
It is. I mean, I guess what I love the fact that I can still meet with my kids through Zoom. We're still able to meet with them. Now, would I would like better participation? Yes. But given the fact that this was thrown on us and I'm like, man, I'm not going to see my kids anymore. We couldn't even finish the program.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just grateful that we're able to continue to do it. I just, you know, I guess I'm happy for the time because I realized that I can do what I was missing as far as, you know, studying, reading, mm-hmm. game planning. You know, I'm happy for that. And I try not to think too much about a situation because it's just, there's so much more I wish I could be doing that I find myself kind of being like, man, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I really can't go out and do what makes me happy, which is, you know, serve people and important to the lives of the kids. So when you ask me that question, I'm like, man, nothing really is good right now, you know, because I can't do that. You know, yeah. went on a walk with my wife tonight, which is great, you know, yeah. and, but they're just sitting at the home, not being forced to not do nothing is tough.
It's hard. Yeah. I feel like this time it's a blessing in disguise where it's hard because I like to be out and doing stuff too. But at the same time, it's cleared off everything. Everything just got shut down. So it kind of gave me time to focus on things I need to get done. God slowed down my world.
Oh, yeah. He slowed down everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Like across the board. It's like, well, it's like, okay, we're all on a level playing field now. You just got to choose what you're going to do with the time.
That's it. Yep.
All right. All right, Andy, anything else you want to tell our listeners?
Yeah.
Where to
check us out.
Yeah.
Yeah, check us out at tcpyouthempowerment.org.
Okay.
I guess for the older people, you could go to Facebook at the same TCP Youth Empowerment. We are on Instagram, the same handle.
Okay.
You can find us on Twitter at TCP_YE. I do need to do a better job of getting on Twitter. But mostly Facebook, Instagram, and our website. You can check my personal stuff out at andyschindling.com. That's S-C-H-I-N-D-L-I-N-G. Excuse the long lag between blog posts on there, but I'm going to be getting back at it. But no, that's about it, you know. And if you're somebody that, you know, loves education and loves what we're doing, and you got the means during this time, we're definitely looking for some financial support to help get some computers into the hands of our kids who are struggling to get their schoolwork done because they don't have a computer.
Yeah.
But also just help the our future and being able to provide these programs free of charge to the kids in these communities. You know, Brooklyn Park, 27.3% of the community lives under the poverty line.
Wow.
So we're really trying to, you know, strengthen our program there so we can make a really big difference in that community.
Okay. I will add all that in the show notes. People can find it in a place to donate if they want to. And
awesome.
You up. Thank you so much, Andy. I appreciate having you on.
Yes, thank you. This was awesome.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. I'm going to put all info about Andy and TCP Youth Empowerment in the show notes. If you want to learn more about the program that's based out of Baltimore, if you feel led to give to the program, I'll put all the info there. I am so grateful to have the chance to sit down with Andy and talk about his organization. It's an amazing thing that he's doing for the youth in his neighborhood, and I hope it grows bigger and he's able to serve more people. All right. My three asks. My first ask, of course, is ratings. Ratings helps me know what you love listening to and what I can improve on. And if you guys have any suggestions of what you'd like to hear about, what you'd like me to talk about, what guests you want me to have on, I would love to hear that feedback. You can leave it in the ratings or you can email me at apeachincalli. That's apeachcalli @gmail.com. Put Brave Podcast in the subject line and tell me your thoughts with ideas of what you want to hear, or you can go to iTunes and leave a rating. Would love that. Secondly, share the episode with a friend. If you hear something in today's episode that you feel would benefit another person, please share the episode with a friend. It gets the word out and it helps someone learn more about the Lord. So it's really, really awesome. And then finally, and I just blanked. I just had it, you guys. Oh my gosh. Finally, I'm going to get it. Share, rate. Oh my gosh. Subscribe. If you'd like to get the episodes a day early in your inbox and find out more about any giveaways I'm doing or any fun things I have going on in my life or any news about the podcast that people wouldn't find out until later, you can join
our email list. You just go over to peachandcali.com, go to the Contact Us tab, put your email there, and then you are on the email list. It's as simple as that. And you'll get your emails on Tuesday, and you'll get the podcast episode on Tuesday as well. All right. Next week's guest is Courtney Moronic. Courtney and I talk about traumatic brain injury and how it has changed her life, some for the better, and then some of the struggles that they have had with their son since the injury happened. So if you're interested in that topic, please tune in with us next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you guys, and I'm so glad that you guys decide to listen to me every Wednesday. I could not do this without you guys, and I'm so, so thankful that you guys are a part of my show. All right. I will see you next time. Bye.